Gosh, there's a lot to cover in the readings today. There's a lot of references here. Are you familiar with the people of Judah? Maybe. The Egyptians? Perhaps. How about the walls of Jericho, or Rahab, or Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets? There's a lot of people and a lot of things happening. The scriptures are funny the way they do that sometimes. They put things in that make you wonder, and hopefully it makes you curious. Today we read from the letter to the Hebrews, which is a particularly curious letter. We know more about not what it's about than we do about what it is about. That should make you curious too. We don't know who actually wrote it. We don't know exactly when it was written. We have a ballpark. We don't know where it was written or where it was received. We also don't know exactly who were the receiving people. We have some ideas. We don't know the context, although we can glean from what we read today that there are some pretty difficult things. This is not exactly the book you want to quote when you're trying to pitch your church or the Christian faith to others. No one wants to hear about living in caves and chains and being cut in half. Cut in thirds, maybe, but not cut in half. But it should make you curious. The writer to the Hebrews does put in a few little snippets of information that we think they probably had some familiarity with, but maybe not. Like Gideon. Do you know who Gideon is? Do you think it's the same guy that wrote the Gideon's Bible? Fun fact, it's not. Gideon is a different person altogether, but he has a really interesting story. It should relate to what the people in the Hebrews are experiencing, given what was described in one of the earlier paragraphs. But if you don't know what all those little references are, here's a great opportunity to find out. I didn't think I would be as excited as I am about buying a new Bible, but I am. I've been doing this gig for quite a while, and you would think, buy another Bible. Yeah, just buy another Bible, but I'm pretty excited about buying this new Bible. Many people have asked me, where can I get a good study Bible? And we have this course coming up on Revelation, and you need a Bible to read along. And I thought, well, maybe now is a good time to pick up a study Bible. And I always refer people to the Common English Bible. I'm not pitching this, by the way. I'm just saying it's pretty cool. So I bought this, and I thought, well, this would be a good one to have. But people finally often say to me they don't know how to read the Bible. They don't know how to use a study Bible. And I thought, well, if I get this one for our Revelation class, and maybe I can read along with other people and then show by example how you use a study Bible. How many people here have used a study Bible? Show of hands. How many people feel confident using a study Bible? Even fewer. Okay, great. Then this is a good sermon for today. This is a study Bible. It's bigger than your usual Bible because there's all kinds of extra information in it. It is food for your spirit, for your soul, for your mind. It's also a bit of a workout because she's heavy. But it allows you to move back and forth between the books in the Bible really easily so that you can find out about all of these people that are referenced in Hebrews and any other book you happen to come across. Let's talk about Gideon. When we're reading the words from Hebrews today, we get this reference to all these people who worked by faith. You may recall last Sunday's reading. By faith, they crossed the sea. By faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell, da, 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 and on and on and on. And then today, we hear about this list of people, beginning with Gideon and then a bunch of others, who presumably also lived by such great faith that they were able to do some really remarkable things. So let's find out who Gideon is. Do you know where to find Gideon? It's in a book called Judges. Judges is an interesting book because it gives a pretty complicated look at the people that moved into the Promised Land and the land of Canaan, where the Canaanites were still living. You pair it with Joshua. Joshua has this really great image of what life in the promised land is like. It's all terrific. Everything's great for the most part. Judges says, no, actually, it wasn't that great. It was really complicated, and there was a lot of fighting, there was a lot of violence, and there was no clear, distinct leadership, and so everyone was just kind of doing their own thing. And while everyone's doing their own thing, the Midianites, the Canaanites, the Amorites, and all these other neighboring countries are coming in and beating up on the Israelites because they don't have a central leadership. And so in the midst of all of this, Gideon, let's go way back over here to Judges. You have to read that much to get from one to the other. We find out that Gideon is this ordinary fellow who sees what's happening in the world around him, and he asks this really important question, a question we all often ask from one time or another in our lives. Gideon says, God, if you're so good and loving, why do bad things happen to us? Aha, theodicy, that's the technical word for what that question is. And we know that whenever we ask God that question, why do bad things happen if you're so good? God asks us the same question. God does something similar, not in quite as many words, but God looks back at Gideon and he says, you have strength, go and rescue Israel from the power of the Midianites. If you think I'm good and nothing bad should happen, I think you're good and I think you've got the strength to do something about it. Well, the Midianites are a powerful army, pretty violent, extreme, and pretty scary. And so Gideon doesn't really want to do this, but he's put himself in a bit of a bind. And so he starts testing God. He's like, if you really are God, I need you to do these things. Show me some signs. And God says, okay, I'll show you some signs. And so God does, entertains all of the questions and the desire for signs and surety and certainty from Gideon. God passes all of Gideon's tests. And then God says, okay, now your turn. I need you to gather an army and go after the Midianites. So Gideon's like, okay, I'm going to gather 320,000 people. Massive army. And God says, nope, I need you to cut 10,000 of those guys. And Gideon's like, the Midianites are a really big army. God's like, do it. And he does. And then God says, you know, your army is still too big. Let's cut it down even more. And Gideon's a little nervous, but he does it. Finally cuts his massive army down to 300 people after the Midianites, and he prevails. He prevails because he asked God to be in relationship with him, to lead by faith, that same faith that the Hebrews talked about last week. By faith, these people did this. By faith, this person did this. By faith in God, because God has faith in us as well and is always faithful and is always in relationship with us. God wants to love and support us. These great things happened. So that's where we talk about Gideon. But when we look back in our search at Gideon and we're in Judges, we read that doesn't give us a complete about what life was like at that time. We go, oh, that's interesting. It was actually, as I said, full of violence and armies coming in and coming out. The Israelites get beat up a lot. So when we go back to Hebrews, now that we've looked up what the Hebrews reference was about, we go back to find that Hebrews had the same kind of situation. When we look at the dating, it was either during the time of Claudius, the emperor, or the time of Nero, who came after Claudius. We know about Nero. Those are pretty bad guys. And so we can extrapolate that the people in Hebrews were living in difficult times, much the same as Gideon, and probably very much like all of the others that are referenced. When we have a handy-dandy study Bible, there are little explanations at the beginning of chapters. There are little sidebar conversations. It helps you to connect the dots between what was important over on this side of the Bible with what's over here on this side of the Bible, and then further what's happening right here in our continuing story of God's revelation to us. What's happening in the world today, the big world or your personal world, it feels overwhelming. What's happening that causes you to want to ask God for a sign that God is actually there? It makes you ask that theodicy question, God, if you're so good, why do these terrible things keep happening? And then you listen for God's response. And we look back into our study Bibles, and we read the stories of our ancestors, the people that struggled, who succeeded, who also failed, and we learn from those things. And then we can take the information that we get there, going back and forth from one story to another, from one book to another, with all the little references and the footnotes and everything, and we go, okay, how does this relate to me? And the more we read about these people and their relationship with God and their relationship with their communities, the more we can start seeing how we can live fully as people of faith who are well connected with one another, with God, with the wider community outside of this little community of ours here, and what it means to be people who live with faith, who by faith do such things as help the homeless, feed the hungry, have compassion for people who are suffering with addictions, have compassion for people who struggle daily with chronic illness. How do we function as people of faith in the God who is the God of love, who wants to give us every good thing, who expects that we're going to use the brains that God gave us and the heart God gave us and the hands God gave us to do good in the world? We won't always succeed. Sometimes the odds will be against us. Sometimes we'll fail. But sometimes we'll succeed. And in either case, God is still faithful to us, still calls us forward to overcome our failures, to learn from our successes, and not to get too heady about things, but learn to keep moving forward. Whatever happened to the people in the Hebrews, they did function as people of faith. They were successful because we're here today. If Christianity ended with the people in the letter to the Hebrews because they were not able to continue on in faith, I don't know that we'd still be here in this room together. And what a loss that would be. Because I think all of you are terrific. And my life is better because you're in it. Think about the generations that will come after us. If we are people who function in faith, we teach our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, nieces and nephews and so forth, what living in faith can look like. The Bible is, it's not always good news. Sometimes there's violence. Sometimes there's ugliness. Sometimes people are terribly abused. They get sawn in half, apparently. But ultimately, it's a way to help us understand God and God's love for us and our relationship with one another. So, I encourage you to get a study Bible. Get this one or get another one. If you don't have a study Bible, there's probably one downstairs. Just go ahead and take it. There's probably one at the library. But I encourage you to get one and read it carefully and well. And know that our stories are also in here because their stories are our stories. Their faith is our faith. Their God is our God. And it's a very, very good God. And that's the good news.